and your giving. Well, it is the third Sunday of Advent. It is Advent. It is Joy Sunday, and we have a lot to pray about. We have so many people that are sick and so many people that are carrying burdens. We've got little ones sick. We have family members dealing with serious things. But on the other side of that, we've we've seen people walk in today that are answers to prayer as well. And so God is moving and doing great things, but we still need to pray together. So if you guys want to just pray with me for a little bit about just the state of health of a lot of people. I don't know if you noticed, but Wendell is not here, and thank you, Steph and Carrie, for filling in this morning. He's sick. We went through a few people in the tech team trying to get people that weren't sick to be here. So it is just pretty nasty out there right now, and we need to pray. And I also got a text message from the DS this morning. I'm not special. I think all the pastors got it, but he just asked if we would pray for some of the pastors on the district. He didn't go over into details, but he said many of them are carrying heavy burdens this morning with different illnesses, family issues. So if you would just go to prayer with me here for a few minutes, and I'm sure some of you have burdens that you're carrying and dealing with and would like to pray for as well. So would you pray with me? God, we just we come to you this morning wanting to lift up just these viruses that are going around or sicknesses that people are dealing with. We wish those things didn't exist and we could just go on about life, but we just ask your healing with those who aren't here this morning because of sickness, and we just ask that whatever the flu or sinus or respiratory stuff that's going around, that you would just keep it at bay, that you would intervene and heal those who are dealing with that. God, we just lift up all these families who are carrying burdens, who are finding out bad news, whether it be medical or otherwise, and we just ask that you would be near to them, that you would be in the midst of these different diseases and issues and troubles and turmoil that are going on. And God, we lift up our pastors across the district, specifically those who are dealing with things this morning as they're trying to preach and lead their churches. I've been there before, and it's not a fun feeling. And so we just ask your peace and your presence and your joy this morning in those circumstances that they're dealing with. God, we just ask that you would remain in this service. We're so humbled and thankful and grateful that you would meet us here in the form of your Holy Spirit week in and week out. We just ask that you would remain in this room. You've heard our worship. You're hearing our prayers. And God, we want to hear from you through your scripture this morning. So as we move forward in this service, just help us to be attentive to what it is that you might have for us this morning. God, we know that you are bigger than any issue or burden or sickness that has been, that could be dealt with, and we know that you are capable of healing and resolving those issues, and so we just are asking you for that now. We also want to thank you for the healing that you've been working on, God. We just, it's so awesome to pray for things week in and week out and then see those come to fruition, and so we thank you for answered prayer as well. Be with us in the remainder of this service. Help us to just lean into whatever it is that you have to say to us this morning. Help us to take your word, apply it to our lives, and leave here changed for the better. We love you and we praise you this morning, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in week 3 of this Advent series, which I timed it so that we would be in week 3 of Advent as well. That's pretty smart, huh? I was thinking this time. I think last year I missed by a week somehow, but not this year. I live and learn, right? Well, we've been going over some Christmas carols, and we've gone through a couple the last few weeks, but we've been talking about the different signs of Christmas, and we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, and the lights are red and green today instead of like a cool winter blue. We're pushing forward, right? We're a couple weeks out at this point. I think literally, right? Christmas is 2 weeks from Sunday. Hey, we are having church, in case you did miss that. I understand, but we have Christmas Eve and we have Christmas morning, so you know, there's some options for you there. But Christmas is fast approaching, and you can tell because right now you're probably finishing up or starting your Christmas shopping, and you're getting to wrap presents and do all that stuff, and you're probably going through and thinking about what food you're going to make for your family dinners or what, or you know, if you're hosting, what the table's going to look like and all that stuff. You're probably in this mindset of Christmas is now fast approaching, and whether we accept it or not, or like that the year is almost over, however you want to look at it, it is coming, and there's nothing we can really do about it. With Christmas, lots of different things come up, old traditions and different styles and opinions and trends, and the list can go on and on. But one thing that we've talked about staying pretty constant is the Christmas music. Christmas music has been the same for quite a while, and pretty much everybody knows Christmas music. And so there are a lot of the same songs, but there are many different versions of them. For instance, if you wanted to do, like, go on a late 90s boy band run, you could. This is probably 4 to 5 hours of Christmas music. NSYNC, Home for Christmas, or 98 Degrees This Christmas, or A Very Backstreet Christmas. There are lots of different options for Christmas music. And if you hadn't heard, Alan Jackson has a few out there. Man, he loves it. He loves those Christmas albums. Anyway, we all make playlists for certain things in certain instances, mowing, working out, driving, whatever the case may be. But if we were to make a Christmas playlist, the artists might be different, but the songs would all look a lot alike. And so no matter who is singing them, be it your favorite boy band from your childhood or Alan Jackson, the songs, they're the same and they all point to Jesus. And so that's kind of where we've been these last few weeks, and we'll continue to go today and next week as well. We will be looking at four songs and the scripture and the meaning behind them. So the first week, we looked at the first Noel. And Noel is this word derived from the Latin, and it just means to be born. So it's saying, like, this king is being born, right? And we looked at God arriving in flesh. God is taking on human form and dwelling among us. And this is good news, right? The angels appeared to the shepherds, and they were watching their flocks at night, and they said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people, and this is very good news. And that's out of Luke 2:8 through 15. But this is three truths about good news. This is what we went over out of the first Noel. This is kind of a recap here. The first one was the good news promises joy. Happiness comes from circumstance, but joy comes from the Lord. The good news produces joy. The second thing is the good news results in praise. We talked about heaven not being able to hold back. When the angels said what the good news was, a heavenly host appeared and started singing to these shepherds, or singing praises out to God. And Christmas calls us to live daily in that same type of praise. And then the third thing was that the good news invites us. And it's the same invitation that those shepherds got to go to the manger. That's the same invitation that we get today from God. We get that same invitation into the same Jesus. And then last week, we looked at a way in a manger. We talked about how it was not ideal, right? It was not your ideal birthing plan for Mary. She would not have written it out this way. But basically, this song is describing this king, Jesus, who foregoes a royal entrance and instead is born in something that animals were eating out of and going to the bathroom very close to. Right, it's not a good look. Anyway, so we looked at three directions that the manger points. The first one is that the manger points to someone unique. There's never been a king in history that was born in a manger, except for Jesus. Any royal person would not have been born. And that tells us that there was nothing to gain by that, right? There's no clout or riches or wealth to gain by being born in a barn. We talked about this king cares about people, and he cares about relationship, and he cares about inclusivity. The second thing was that the manger points to the cross. It didn't really stop with being born in a manger. He actually is born amongst livestock, lower than humans, and then it goes to dying on a criminal's cross. The manger, the cross, and the ministry of Jesus all exemplify humility. And then the third one is that the manger points to disciples. We talked about from the shepherds being called by the angels to these just ordinary disciples. Jesus was using ordinary people all the time. So from the manger to the cross, Jesus called ordinary people with ordinary stories to be used extraordinarily. So that is where we left off last week, and that gets us to this week. And we obviously all just sang Joy to the World together. We have the pink Advent candle lit because that's the one for joy. And so joy is what we're going to be talking about this week. We all want more joy in our lives. Is that true? Yeah, right? Of course. No, I want more anger and sadness, right? No, of course. We all want more joy. There's no doubt. That is something we could all use more of, we would all like more of, and people would like us more if we had more of it, right? It'd be a good thing. So we're going to look at this scripture. We're going to reference it a couple times throughout the sermon, but this is David writing a psalm of praise to God, and it kind of ends it with that joy. But it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King." So this is a song of praise, right, brought on by this joy from the Lord. And this is back in Psalm, so this is obviously before Jesus had been born or come to the earth. But this king that is referenced in Psalm that they're making this big, giant, joyful noise about is now here with us. This is kind of where this joy to the world starts. So we literally have the joy of the Lord to the world. The Lord is with us, right? Joy from the Lord is with us. Pretty cool. So think of your most joyous time in life. I'll give you 5 seconds. Just get it in your head. 2, 1, locked in. Maybe it's the time that your baby was born, or babies, right? We can't play favorites, even though we all have one. I'm just kidding. Maybe it's the first time you saw your baby, or maybe it's your wedding day, or maybe it's a time you won an award or an accolade, or maybe it's a time you won a championship, maybe in an athletic setting, or a time that you graduated with from high school, or your undergrad or master's or doctorate, or however, you know, educated you are. There's certain milestones that we pass in life. You know, not all of us have passed each of these milestones either, but, you know, maybe you've had a really joyous time after some sort of accomplishment or thing has come to a head. And we talked about joy versus happiness in week one, right, and how they're different. Joy is from the Lord, happiness is circumstantial. We're going to unpack that quite a bit more today, but we've already kind of touched on this. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness comes from our circumstances. Joy comes from the Lord, and specifically, it comes from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So joy is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand, maybe this will help. Have you ever bought an older car, and it has a radio that won't let your phone hook up to it. Yeah, I'm driving one right now. So you buy an older vehicle, and you're like, oh, I forgot, you know, 20 years ago they didn't have, you know, MP3 availability in cars, so I'm going to have to do something. So you go on Amazon or you go to Best Buy or whatever, and you buy something that looks like this, right? It's a CD. Well, no, it's not. I guess that one has one, but anymore you don't. You can't even buy one with a CD player in it. It just has a. You can either plug your phone into it the old-fashioned way, or you can connect to it via Bluetooth, and then it'll give you the radio. But you pop it into the dash, and then presto, you've got a new car, right? It still drives like all the other ones, and now you can listen to whatever music or podcast you want. This would be called an aftermarket thing. So my 2006 Ford Ranger, I did this exact swap. It came with this little radio that didn't have a CD player, didn't have a place to plug anything in. It's like, we're going to have to fix that. So we bought the aftermarket stereo, and we put it in. Think of it this way. Joy in humans is not a stock feature. Right, joy in humans is not a stock feature. It is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. It's an aftermarket thing that is put in with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, along with love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23, I think. You've got all these things that humans don't inherently come with. This is evidence that we've been infilled with the Holy Spirit. So joy is not a stock feature if you think of it like a vehicle would be. Or if you see somebody driving around with a crazy spoiler they put on the back of their car or anything else, you think, that didn't come like that. That's been altered. Same thing, when you see a human that's joyful, no matter their circumstances, you're like, that's not right. That's not, he didn't come like that. Been altered, that's an aftermarket feature, and it's from the Holy Spirit. Joy is meant to be present through both exciting and difficult times, right? That's where the difference from happiness. It is meant to be present whether we are in good times or are in bad times. So we're going to look today at three truths about joy in this Christmas season. The first one is that joy helps us remember. Joy helps us remember. Verse 3 in that passage we read out of Psalms, it says this: He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Who has remembered? It's capital H. So it's talking about God, right? It doesn't say we remembered. It says he has remembered. God always remembers his promise. Whether it's in Genesis with Adam and Eve or Abraham or Noah, I mean, God is always aware and remembers his promise. The problem is that sometimes we don't remember God's promise. You ever been there? No? Just me? All right. Wake up. Okay. God always remembers his promise. Sometimes we don't. People often forget God's promise. There's a story in Exodus, it should be very familiar to you. The Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, and Moses kind of, if you've seen a Prince of Egypt movie when you were a kid, you know the whole thing. I'm just telling you stuff you already know, but Moses did a bad thing, goes into the desert, God gets a hold of him, decides to use him, takes him back into Egypt. He goes in with Pharaoh, who's like his half-brother, kind of, because he floated down the river and all the... You guys know the story, right? Okay. So Moses and Pharaoh get into this big, long thing, and God keeps sending these plagues through, sometimes through Moses, sometimes like through his stick. It's pretty cool. But it all culminates to this point, right, where Pharaoh says, okay, I've had enough. Your God is wreaking havoc on, you know, on my kingdom and on my stuff, so go. And they get out of Egypt, they go get to the Red Sea, and what happens? Egypt's bearing down on them. They've got water in front of them. They're like, no boats, we can't really do this thing. And so God says, you know, put your staff down. Moses puts his staff down. The waters part. Israel walks through, and then the army of Egypt gets swallowed up at the water, right? We've heard it before, right? Yes? Okay. Pretty amazing stuff, right? That's why I'm assuming you've all heard it, because your faces are like not surprised by this. And if I were hearing it for the first time, I'd be very surprised. Pretty incredible stuff. And so we see Israel get through there. They're in the promised land, but they quickly forget, right? They quickly forget what God has done, and they start bellyaching, and that joy, that jubilance that was involved in this miraculous event has started to wear off, and now they're sick of being in the promised land. They're sick of the way things are going, and they kind of forget what God's done for them. And so this is in Numbers. This is verses 11, 1 through 6, and this is just kind of after this has happened. We kind of get a peek into what the Israelites are saying. So it says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down." So that place was called Taberah, which just means on fire, because fire from the Lord had come or had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic." Anybody hungry? "But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." They've reverted back at no cost, right? No, that was a huge cost. You were enslaved, right? That was a big cost. But it's funny when we forget what God's done and we forget the promise of God that we kind of revert back into that. And we wonder, how in the world could they complain about this? How they were enslaved, now they're a free people, and they're like, "Well, we had cantaloupe back there, though. I mean, that's pretty rough, right?" So, I think if it was us, we would probably be in the same boat. We're very quick to forget. And while Egypt literally had the Israelites enslaved, we were also once a people enslaved to sin. And sometimes we forget that joy of that freedom. And we think, man, maybe the old ways weren't so bad. Maybe it was easier when I didn't have to do the right thing or listen to God's leading and prompting. We forget. We're so quick to forget the promise. Joy helps us remember God's promise in difficult times. And we possess this joy that is gifted to us through Christmas. It helps us when things get difficult. It's easy to practice joy. It's easy to live in that joy when things are good, right? Yeah, of course. That's when it gets difficult, when we have to rely on the Holy Spirit within us to be in that joy through difficult times. Number two, we have joy because of God's righteousness. We have joy because of God's righteousness. This is verse 2 of Psalm 98 that we read in the beginning. "The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations." The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. So if we are righteous, we have conformed to the will of God through our salvation. That's the only way we can gain righteousness. That's the only way humans are able to be viewed righteous in the eyes of God is through salvation. It's through nothing that we've done, nothing that we could ever do. Our most joyous accomplishment still doesn't equal righteousness, right? It's only through salvation. Romans 1:17, Paul says it like this: "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, 'The righteous will live by faith.'" The only way for us to be righteous is through faith in Jesus. So, this righteousness allows us to have joy in all circumstances. If God was not first righteous, we would not have any sort of accessibility to this joy, Does that make sense? It's nothing we can just attain on our own. God had to be righteous first so that we could be made righteous in his eyes. The question is how? How does this work? How do we keep this joy in all these circumstances? We are counted righteous in the eyes of God no matter our surroundings. So just like joy is supposed to stick with us through different circumstances and through good and bad, our salvation does too. Isn't that good news? So no matter how we feel or how bad we feel about ourselves or about, you know, no matter what hand we got dealt this week or this month or this year or these last 10 years, we are still righteous in the eyes of God if we are living in faith. Isn't that awesome? So it's not, oh, I'm down on my luck or things are bad this season and I just have to be separated from God. That's not the case. We can have that joy because we are viewed as righteous no matter what's going on around us, no matter what our surroundings are, no matter what our circumstances. This, especially this Christmas, is worth rejoicing because we're getting ready to celebrate what started all of this, what got the ball rolling on this whole process. So knowing Jesus, living by faith, living in salvation, is knowing joy. Does that make sense? All right, cool. You guys are with me. I like it. Knowing Jesus is knowing joy. All right, number three and the last one is we have joy because of rescue. We have joy because of rescue. So we have joy because of God's righteousness. Joy helps us remember God's promise, and then we have joy because of rescue. So Christmas was the start of the ultimate rescue mission, right? I think when I think about this, I think of Tom Cruise down the elevator shaft in Mission Impossible. He's, skating down. I think of this rescue mission, right? Jesus came to rescue these people, us, here on earth, and it starts with Christmas. Romans 5, 17 and 18 says this, "For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that." I'm going to turn this way. My screen's cut off. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. You guys catching that? Consequently, just as one trespass, Adam and Eve, resulted in condemnation for all people, so as one righteous act, Jesus on the cross, resulted in justification and life for all people. Basically, in layman's terms, Paul's saying that Jesus played the reverse card. He came to rescue us from sin. Adam and Eve had done this thing that God told them not to do, which was, they ate the fruit. Shouldn't have done it. They did it. We would have too. Don't blame them. They ate the fruit. And then the whole world's condemned, right? We're all facing this condemnation. And Jesus, Paul says, in one swoop, in the same way that an unrighteous act condemned us, a righteous act is now reversing that consequence of sin, which is death and separation from God. That's pretty awesome. That's a really good rescue mission. There's no movie that ends that good. There's not one. You know, they might save a country or the world, but I mean, this is like the world generations and generations that this is saving. And it's crazy. This is awesome. Awesome stuff. And then through this, right, through this rescue, we now have a better identity, which is something that we can be joyful about. We don't have to be identified by our past or by the sin that we used to live in or by whatever hand we were dealt or who abused us or who had done something wrong to us or any of that. We don't have to carry that name with us anymore. Jesus undid all that. He's undoing the effects of sin, and now we're just righteous in the eyes of God. That's pretty good news. That's a pretty joyous occasion. So this Christmas, as we finish up here, this Christmas, remember the promise of God and be joyful. Use joy to remember that God's promise is still happening. God is still fulfilling what he said he would. Jesus is still coming back one day. We still have an avenue, an open communication, an open line of communication to God through the act that Jesus did. We still are able to live outside of sin and the consequences of death. God still is keeping his promises. Remember that and be joyful. Walk in righteousness with God and be joyful. Live in that salvation. Live in that faith. The only reason we have access to joy is because Jesus came at Christmas time and he died on the cross. The only reason we have access to joy is because God was first righteous. Therefore, when we live in faith, when we walk in our salvation, we are too seen as righteous. So walk in righteousness with God and be joyful, no matter your surroundings, no matter your circumstance. And live in the freedom and the identity of rescue and be joyful. I like to think of somebody who maybe got out of prison, and wouldn't it be weird to get out of jail and still live like you're in jail? Agree? Fortunately, that's never happened to me. I don't know. But that would be really weird to get out of jail and still live like you're in there. Live in the freedom of rescue. It'd be really weird to get rescued by Jesus from sin and death and the consequences thereof and still just live in it, right? So take advantage this Christmas. Live in that salvation. Live in that rescue. Live in the freedom. Use your new identity as child of God, as righteous in the eyes of God, and be joyful. Live in the freedom of rescue and be joyful. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you for the access to joy. We thank you for knowing that we are considered righteous and living through faith, that we are righteous in your eyes. We thank you so much for the work you did, this ultimate rescue mission. We're still so humbled that you would put yourself in our position and even lower, live amongst us and then die for us so that we could be with you eternally, so that we didn't have to suffer the consequences that we brought on ourselves. Help us to live in that joy permanently, no matter what's happening around us, no matter what's happening within us, but to know that we are so loved that you would rescue us, that you would live amongst us, and that you would die for us. As we go about our lives this Christmas, there will be plenty of things to be joyful for, but there will be plenty of things that will be difficult. Help us to access your joy in all of that. And help us to exemplify that joy and show others who you are, what you're about, and what it looks like when your Holy Spirit gets a hold of someone. So God, as we leave this place today, we just ask that you would go with us, that you would just put your hands in our lives and help us to just be this light and this hope and this joy that people need during Christmas. We can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us and all that you continue to do for us. Help us to live in your joy this week. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing a song, and you're invited always. Our altars are always open. If you're carrying a burden this week or you would like to pray on someone's behalf, and this is a great place to do it, but we're going to sing this song together, and I think it's a very fitting song for the end of this service, what he's done and what joy we have to be, how much joy we can have in what he's done. So would you stand with us and worship?